And it gives me great pleasure to introduce our speaker, James, from Santa Maria.
James Alcoholic? Thanks, Matt, for asking me to speak. It's been I just got 4 years at the end of December, so I forget how nervous I get for these things, man. The public speaking, especially before I got sober, I'd usually do a big fat line of Xanax and take a few drinks before I had to do something like this. But living life sober has been positive for me. It's had its challenges, but using and drinking ended up down a pretty dark road, and things have turned around. I grew up in town. I grew up in Santa Maria. And I think, by the time I got into high school, when you're, a teenager, for me being, kind of stuck inside my skin and feeling awkward, unsure of myself, all that doubt, and started getting high and drinking, kind of helped me feel like a lot more comfortable, in my skin, and, feel like I could, had a lot more confidence, kind of wanted to be the man. It kind of helped me, it made me feel like I was becoming the man that I wanted to be. Growing up in town, a lot of my family members drank, a lot of my family members used drugs, so it kind of seemed normal. A lot of my family members work in alcohol, alcohol sales. So my first job was washing beer trucks at Coors in town, and we'd go on the weekends, and they'd always stock the trucks on Friday, and they'd chip them out on Monday, so they wouldn't lock some of the gates, so I ended up stealing some beer out of the truck. And so I definitely started pretty young. I was always very, I was quite popular in high school because of that. Once I got out of high school, I got a job at a winery in alcohol sales. And things seemed to be going in the right direction, and started making money that was kind of a sign that things were going well. I got married, have two daughters, got the house, you get all these responsibilities, I start building my life, and my alcohol and drug intake is increasing all the while, and it just seemed normal. And so I didn't feel like I needed to stop. It kept on expanding, taking pain pills was a regular thing. Like I mentioned, Xanax, I had a Xanax prescription. I'd score illegal pain pills from people I knew. I'd buy pain pill prescriptions. And just alcohol was always around. I could just take the bottles of wine home if I needed to. Especially in the wine business, you'd trade with the local breweries, you'd have beer, hard liquor. So it was just always around. Once COVID hit, I took over the management position that I don't think I was ready for. During COVID, too, we had to close down, shut down, reopen, shut down, reopen. And so I started picking up fentanyl during that time. And so it kind of sped things along. I think without that, I would still have been here because I was drinking pretty much every night. I'd always wake up shaky in the morning, and I'd take some Xanax, and that kind of smoothed me out. But fentanyl definitely sped things along, man. You get dope sick, and just you can't function without it. I couldn't show up to work. I was inconsistent. I'm trying to keep alcohol and drugs in my life because I love it so much, and I just know that this is becoming a problem. Getting dry cotton mouth, excuse me. But I realized I needed help. I overdosed a couple times. Things were getting bad with the wife. I was kicked out of the house, and so I went to my first rehab. I called one of those 800 numbers, and I knew I needed help. So they convinced me to go to rehab. It was something that I didn't want to do, but I just thought that I needed to get away from it for a little bit and not work a program. So that's what I did. I went to rehab 28 days later. They wanted me to go into sober living, but I didn't. I just wanted to get back to work, still working in alcohol. manage my life, you know, just with that little break from things. But I relapsed the very first day I got back from rehab. My wife, she threw these pills that I had in the trash in the bathroom, underneath the sink. I threw them in the trash when I went. She never takes out the trash, so they're still there when I got back. So I went and checked the trash, and here I am, lining up another line of fentanyl and getting back into it right away. And I went to a few AA meetings, a few NA meetings, but I didn't want to do it, especially some things about AA. I did grow up with a God in my life, and there was something that kind of scared me, or kind of chased me away, but things got worse, so about 6 months of into my relapse, I'm kicked out of the house again. I'm dope sick again. I'm calling out sick all the time from work. I could just feel like this anxious knot, I could feel it. It's like something like kind of pressure on my chest. And I just knew I needed to do something. I needed to do something really extreme, sober up. I knew I had a problem. And so I went back to another rehab, a different place. And in this rehab, they really focused on AA. They took us to a lot of meetings in the surrounding area. This is down in Palm Desert. And so you'd go to AA meetings, you'd go to NA meetings, and then they'd have all these other little side meetings, like they'd have Cocaine Anonymous, Heroin Anonymous, Crystal Meth Anonymous. And so I'm hitting all these different 12-step programs, and I'm identifying in each spot, different periods of my life. I mess around with all that. I saw people living sober. I saw people that were, had a lot of years in the program, seemed to be living happy lives. And so I think I picked up on that in that second rehab, that I know this program is kind of where I need to be. And especially, in rehab, they have you do therapy. You go to, psychiatry, and that was helpful. That's kind of, and I still do that. I see a therapist. That was kind of a nice. I started working out more regularly. Starting to try to eat better, but AA and NA, any of those programs, they're available daily. It's by our own contribution that we keep this thing going, so it's pretty inexpensive, especially compared to rehab and all those other things. So my second rehab. Oh, thanks. My second rehab. I remember sitting there thinking, if I'm just trying to buy time and figure out my next move and somehow try to juggle manage alcohol and drugs in my life, try to go at it again, or if I'm actually serious about it, getting sober, what is it I got to do? And so, I got a temporary sponsor in my second rehab. Something that I started working step one, step two, step three, and step four. I got to see what other people were doing with it. I remember, it was with NA that I had my temporary sponsor, and admitting that I was an alcoholic, admitting that I was a drug addict, saying that I knew inside that's what it was. But it was really the serenity prayer, at the end of the meeting, that kind of hit home. Is like, man, times have changed, I'm in a room full of people praying. Things have drastically changed for me. I'm gonna embrace it, man. This is what I'm gonna do. And so I got back into town after going to sober living. So I was gone from in rehab and sober living for about 2 months, 2.5 months, something like that. And I get back into town, start going to AA meetings. And they had a morning meeting here in town at 1600 here that. I started coming to consistently, and I always got high in the morning. Morning was a big thing. Drinking was more in the evening, getting high in the morning, whatever prescription I could have would kind of set the day for me. So I knew that was kind of like a trigger by waking up, and starting my day with a meeting. So I got a sponsor and started working the steps and trying to figure out how to apply them to my life. And it kind of kept me in the game, going from step one, admitting that I have the problem and my life is unmanageable, going to step two, step three, you work on the, coming to believe, giving over my will, which is still kind of, even still after 4 years, I'm still learning more and more about it. But they're kind of a little bit more abstract, for me. And by the time I got to step four, that's kind of, where you start putting pen to paper. That's where kind of like a big impact started to hit. I got a chance to all these things that I'm keeping inside of me with the step four. I put down all my resentments, and it kind of gives me, it's kind of refreshing. I've been holding on to all this shit for a long time, and it's just kind of a way for me to describe where I've been, and who, what upsets me, what's been frustrating me, why I use, why I drink. All these things that I haven't really fully dealt with. And so, and then when I, by the time step five came around, each one of these steps took about a month to go through them for the first time. And so step five, had a huge impact on me too, because I'm actually sharing it with somebody. So it's not just the fact that I'm writing down all these resentments and keeping myself and putting it in my pocket, I'm actually taking a kind of leap of faith. And that's kind of where I think trust comes into play. It's a lot of trust you put into somebody, a sponsor, when you're gonna, throw up all your things at somebody. So I did it, kind of helped me feel more connected. I think after that, I was really, kind of struggling with it for about a week after I shared all that stuff. Cause it, it kind of was all mixed up, but after going to enough meetings and consistently showing up, I started processing, like, okay, I can do this thing, this thing's kind of starting to click. And so that's about 5 months into the program, and so I start picking up commitments in the program. I start secretarying a couple of meetings. I was a timekeeper at the Presbyterian Church. That was one of my first commitments. I was here at the 1600 Club for the 8 a.m. meeting. I currently do Golden Group Saturday 8 a.m. meeting, but I had a commitment in the Pomo too. I'm doing this big circle of AA meetings, kind of figuring out all the different styles of meetings that they have, from Orchid to the Pomo, meeting different people, seeing how everyone does it. I'm building this kind of program around me, kind of this armor around me, and so I, even though I'm still thinking about using and drinking a fair amount. It helps me stay in the day, and it kind of helps me keeps my mind busy. When I wake up in the morning and hit a meeting, then I go one in the evening, those are kind of bookends to my day that I can kind of, and I can fill the rest of the day in with, constructive things. And so I left the winery. I finally quit the job in alcohol. I realized I need to get out of there. And so I'm on disability now. This is the first year in sobriety. I'm on disability, so I have the luxury of having time, and that was hugely beneficial, man, because I was in a ton of meetings, especially when I was fresh, and really prone to relapse, because there's certain days that would just, these feelings would come over me, and it could be something I'm thinking about. It could just be like the way the light comes through the day. I expect to be high at this time of day. So I go start searching through my car sometimes, starting to see if I left any crumbs and stuff in my car, and it's like, what am I doing? I have people to reach out to. By the time I get into six and seven, you kind of go through those steps a little bit quicker. I'm working on the problems that are within me, these kind of, these things that come to me naturally, makes me want to think the wrong thoughts, make assumptions, with these character defects of mine that keep cropping up, that are just a part of me. And step six and seven kind of help me live with that. So I'm conscious of these things, and then you get into step eight and nine. And that's another one of these steps that's really like hands on, man. You're building a list, people that you wronged, and you're going to make amends, So I build out my list, you know, started with the big ones, you know, started with my wife, started with, you know, my friend I overdosed in front of, you know, he had to do CPR and chest compressions on me. And, you know, I had a big thing in front of his family, you know, I have amends that I made that I'm still kind of mixed up about. You know, I kind of have kind of a off and on relationship with my dad. It's kind of complicated. But I had amends to make to him, you know, other people in my life. But I'm actually, I'm doing it. You know, I'm making the effort, and by doing that, by putting the work in, you know, I'm getting some results. You know, I feel like I'm having a healthy outlet here where you can, you know, talk about things that are on your mind. At the meetings, you get a chance to be kind of express yourself. You know, learn how to express yourself, express how you feel, which are all kind of new things. You know, for me. You have a community of support around you that I can understand, you know. Had the same feelings, been down the same road, you know, judgments, no judgment. And so it's mainly positive. And so once I got through my amends, and then you have step 10, 11, and 12, you know, that are what they call the maintenance steps, I think the term is. And so I'm learning how to apply these things to my life consistently and continue this. Because if I'm going to live sober, I need these tools. And I need to use them daily. It's not something that goes around. It's like just as much as I drank and used, I'm going to be using these steps to apply in place of those. So after my first year, I knew I couldn't work in alcohol. So I was like, man, I don't have a college degree. I kind of got to start from scratch. What am I going to do? You know, I got the disability's going to run out. I need to start bringing in some serious income here, you know, for my family. And so, started door dashing to begin with, started looking into school. My wife's a school teacher. My mom was a school teacher. I have aunts and uncles who are school teachers, cousins, it's a great life balance. Job, you know, you always get summers off, you get weekends, holidays, and in my old job, you're always working. You're always working on weekends, you're always working holidays. That stress, you know, is you're especially with a family, my life was kind of out of balance, and I think that's part of my why I got so crazy with drugs and alcohol there. So, okay, I'm going to go back to school. I start plotting out what that looks like. You know, I have this program to lean on as I continue to build this kind of, this future into my life. I start going back to school and working towards being a teacher. You know, I'm going to be around a lot of kids. And I have two kids of my own, but I don't know what it's like being in a classroom. So, I got a job driving a school bus while I go back to school. And that will give me an idea, even if I like working with kids. And so far, it's been good. I'm still so far so good, that job helps me go to work in the morning, and then the late morning afternoons, you know, in the break of the day, I can go to class, I hit meetings, things like that, and then I go back and pick up the kids. It keeps me accountable because I have to test clean, so you have random tests, so it's a kind of part of my program and recovery as well. This job, you got to stay clean for it. It's kind of a one of those jobs that kind of helps you get back. You're working with people's kids. There's a lot of responsibility there support for the community, which kind of feels good, you know, instead of just getting people drunk and high all the time at the old winery. Without AA, I don't think I would have been able to build all this into my life and stay clean and sober. It's something that is available daily. It's helped me discover kind of who I am. Because without drugs and alcohol, right, that's kind of one of the things. It's like, who am I if I'm not going to be drunk or high? I don't even know who I am. I felt so empty when I was sober. AA is kind of help fill that void, you know, and rediscover who I am. I get a kind of second chance at things, you know, where things were kind of starting to get dark. They talk about in the big book, where things didn't, you're starting to feel like things with, you can't live a life without alcohol or with alcohol. You're kind of stuck in between. That's kind of where I was getting to, you know. I couldn't see a way out of it. But AA helped me kind of guide me into living a lifestyle that's of sobriety and make it possible. You know, so I still, I'm grateful for this program. I'm grateful what it's been able to provide for me. I feel like I could communicate better with people in my life. My wife, I feel like we're communicating better than ever. I'm available to my kids. I'm present, you know, and I can feel it. You know, I can feel that connection, you know. And feel like I express myself better. I feel like I'm more of an adult, you know, becoming the adult that I always set out to be, but it just got set off track, you know. And without those experiences, I don't think I'd be where I'm at, you know. So I'm grateful for even the bad times that I had, you know, it's kind of getting me to where, you know, to where I'm at now. There's still a lot of work to do for my career. There's still a lot of work to do at home. There's still a lot of work to do in general for my sobriety. You know, but it's mainly a kind of positive outlook, you know. I do get down. There are ups and downs. I get out of my skin, you know. But it's not as, you know, when you're dope sick or you're shaking in the morning from being hungover and, you know, detoxing from alcohol, you know, those are extremes, man. They're like up, down, up, down. And I hope I continue to remember how stable I feel. You know, it's still up and down a little bit, but not so extreme, you know. And if things get out of hand, you know, I do have a lot of people out here that that understand, that I can reach out to, that will be here no matter what, you know. And so I'm grateful for that. So let's see, we got about 10 more minutes. How long are these supposed to go? Yeah. Sobriety has been. With relapse, after 4 years, I still think about using and drinking. It's not like it's gone away. Sometimes you hear people, and it's great. You know, sometimes you hear people that have this kind of like the obsession is removed. You know, you ask it to be moved and the obsession is removed. It still comes over me sometimes. And especially at social events, you know, so those are always kind of tough. Being around people who are drinking, having a good time and letting loose, you know, sometimes it kind of feels like I'm the kind of, you know, I'm uptight and kind of, you know, I get anxious, those things, man. I still don't want to, I don't want to turn those things away from my life as long as they're not incredibly problematic. Like, I'm going to relapse if I go to those things. So by pushing myself and showing up to my life, you know, not straying away from things because they're awkward or make me nervous, you know, I feel the growth for doing these type of things, you know, and I have, you know, so much in my life that I can look to with sober eyes to help me realize that, you know, it's just in my head, you know, these things that I'm feeling and thinking are, you know, temporary, you know, if it's negative, you know, then I give myself 15, 20, 20, 30 minutes of, you know, helping somebody out or getting out of myself. You know, I kind of work my way through these kind of little episodes that I get, it's mainly with alcohol. You know, I'm a dual user, drugs and alcohol. Drugs, I got to go, you know, there's some pretty serious hurdles. I got to go get, you know, get money out of the bank. Go hit up some old friends, you know. But it's alcohol, man. That's just one I'm kind of scared on the relapse for. You know, it's so accessible, you know, and socially acceptable. So you know, I'm not unaware of the triggers that are still out there. It's not like this thing has gone away. It's not something that I can just take for granted in my sobriety. It's not something that I don't want to take it too lightly or think that I'm okay. Because, you know, once you start getting your life back together and I'm going to school, you know, I got homework to finish, I got the kids to take care of, I got to make sure I show up for the family, make sure I'm present, you know, make sure I'm at work, you know, doing my thing, you know, at work. You start missing out on meetings, man. You know, there's a lot of meetings to make. It's hard to kind of balance it all in. And so I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget, you know, that my sobriety does come first, because once again, you hear a ton of times at these meetings that if I'm not okay in the head, if I'm high and drunk, all these other things start falling apart, you know. And I don't want that, you know. So, I'll stop there. And I appreciate you guys having me up here. It's always good to, it's always nice to be at these speaker meetings, man. Yeah, thank you.
All right, let's give. Okay, here we go. Let's give James another round of applause.